Before the tool belts were strapped on or the first nail was pounded, Don Dickinson was looking over plans, writing proposals, and talking to people. He was doing the groundwork.
He was absolutely dedicated to the proposition that people should be able to afford a decent place to live if they were working folks.
That's Warren Brody, a Mashpee-based attorney and Dickinson's friend. Brody also volunteers at Habitat for Humanity of Cape Cod.
I think he had a fundamental and very deep sense of fairness. And he felt that it was so unfair that people on the Cape could work hard and not be able to afford a decent place to live. And he felt that very personally and felt that he had to do something about it.
Dickinson was born in Grandy, Massachusetts, where he attended school. His obituary reads that he earned his bachelor's degree in architecture and his master's in business administration. He served 6 years in the Navy, and he went on to build a successful career in design and construction, working for utility companies in New York before retiring to Sandwich on the Cape. Once retired, he got to work. For 15 years, he dedicated himself to Habitat. And executive director Vicki Goldsmith says it was like having an additional high-level professional staff person.
Don had been a professional architect and worked up in a corporate level of looking for land and sites and so forth for one of the utility companies. And when he retired, he felt it was his time to give back, and he was quite passionate about that giving back aspect.
Goldsmith says that more than anything, Dickinson made his mark with Habitat by acquiring land. He was a visionary, she says, always pushing the organization to think big.
When we looked back and counted it up, we credit Don for acquiring or leading the team, but often doing a lot of the work of it, but definitely leading the team that led to acquiring the sites for 75 Habitat for Humanity homes on Cape Cod. So you can think of 75 families with those kids who will grow up with their lives forever impacted.
At Habitat, the challenge isn't necessarily finding people to come help build a house for a needy family. Those kind-hearted people are out there. The real challenge is convincing communities and neighborhoods to let it happen.
I hear this comment all the time. We're all for affordable housing, but not in my backyard.
John O'Reilly is an engineer who worked with Dickinson on a four-house project in Brewster. He says when Dickinson encountered the NIMBY attitudes, he didn't let it bother him.
Never a cross word came out of his mouth, which I found remarkable, since in some cases, affordable housing isn't well received by some of the neighbors. It's the downside when you're trying to do affordable housing, and Don never let that flap get to him, always remaining above it, just an ultimate professional.
In many ways, Dickinson became the face of Habitat. For a decade and a half, he was the person the town planners, engineers, and elected officials most often dealt with. Mashpee planner Tom Fudala says Dickinson made it easy for towns to do affordable housing, doing everything the development involved, including talking to neighbors.
Don Dickinson made a very good impression on everybody. I mean, Don was a guy you couldn't say no to. He was, obviously a clearly upstanding guy and made a good case for Habitat and had a lot of friends, impressed a lot of people.
Before Dickinson became president of Habitat, he started out as a construction manager, and the first house he oversaw was in 1995 in his own town of Sandwich. The house belonged to Wendy Osland.
What a wonderful man. Bluest eyes, tall, white hair, a smile, and so much kindness to go with the smile. What a wonderful man.
Osland's was the first Habitat house ever built in Sandwich, and Osland met Dickinson at its groundbreaking in the fall of 1995. Osland says Dickinson was optimistic the house would be done by Christmas time, and he pointed to where the family could put a Christmas tree. But as the holiday approached, it was clear the house would not be finished.
And right before Christmas, though, Don said, "Gee, I've got to go to Botello. Do you mind going with me?" And my daughter was riding in the back seat. We were in his car. And he said, "We're going to go right over here." And they were all Christmas trees. And he says, "I want you to pick a Christmas tree." Oh, he just touched my heart. He bought us a Christmas tree. We weren't able to put it in our house. It wasn't ready yet. But where I lived, we put it there.
2 years ago, when Dickinson already was not feeling well, he received the Outstanding Volunteer Award from the Philanthropy Partners Group of the Cape and Islands. During his acceptance speech, Dickinson talked about meeting a young man who was going to be living in a Habitat house once it was built. The boy was about 12 years old, and he introduced Dickinson to his friend, who was standing nearby.
The young Habitat man said, "He's going to be my friend forever." I must admit, I looked at him quite quizzically as to why, and he said, "I've moved twice a year all my life, and I never have had a friend forever."
After living a generous life, putting the needs of others before his own, Don Dickinson passed away peacefully on July 5th this year, leaving behind his wife Anne, their 9 children, and 21 grandchildren. He was 82. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.